See, I've been out of the pulpit for 2 weeks, so I've got 10 points today. So you're going to have to write down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and we'll talk about that here in just a second. But just to let you know, because I listen to the messages, by the way, and I listen to what they say about me while I'm gone. And I heard Dusty say, he said he hoped that I was not pulling a Lincoln Riley on him and on everybody here. I'm not pulling the Lincoln Riley, I promise. I'm here until Jesus comes back. Amen. And that's how I feel about it. God's called me to pastor here. I was reading a book the other day, and it was talking about a pastor who had pastored well, just a small congregation, but he pastored that church for his whole life. And I was like, that's awesome. I want to be that guy. You know, and so that's how I feel about our church and being here in my hometown and pastoring. And I believe that I'm going to be here until the Lord comes back, and I believe that's very soon. Amen. And but I'll tell you what I did do, so y'all know, because everybody's curious of what where I was at. I was actually at I wasn't at an insurance school, like Dusty said. I caught that, Dusty. I was at a real estate school, and I went to a real estate school in Bowling Green, Kentucky, on how to be an auctioneer. And so I'm going to demonstrate for you that I'm not going to do my chant. Yeah, Jenny's like, I got to hear it all the time while you're doing it. So yeah, $10 bid now, $20. Would you give $20? Give buy me $20. You know, there you go. That's about all I'm going to do for you this morning. But it's neat to know about somebody. I had a pastor friend of mine say, you know what, Pastor Mark, you can do your auctioneer chant and speak in tongues at the same time. I was like, amen, brother. I'm going to be doing that. You know. But we had a good time. I learned a lot while I was gone. It's just another tool in my tool belt, because being a bivocational pastor, that's what I do, is the real estate preacher. But I wanted to start off with something today. This has nothing to do with my message, and I do not know why this is on my heart, because it's not a good thing, what I'm about to tell you. But I feel like I need to say it, because and I was struggling with it over here. Because I was like, Lord, do you really want me to share that? And I was praying about it over here. And I'm going to share this because I know we got a lot of young people here today. And you're living in the last days. I want you to know that. And where right is wrong and wrong is right. The Bible even talks about that. I mean, we're living in that day and hour. And I'm telling you, Mark Ward and I, we had breakfast this week, and we were talking about when we were teenagers, if we'd have had cell phones, what we'd have been like. Oh, God, help us, you know. But they're being exposed to so many things and so many wrong things. And it's us as parents. It's my responsibility as a pastor to lead them in righteousness. Amen. And I heard something while we were gone when I was doing this real estate school. And I was just like, man, I never would have dreamed this. But what happened during our real estate school, we were being taught by real live auctioneers and their auction businesses. And this guy got up and told a story that he heard about. It's in the courts right now. And this is in Kentucky, all right? It's not on any one of the coasts. This is in Kentucky. And what he was talking about was, he said there's a case going on right now where they do a lot of estate auctions, the ones that I was learning from. And he said in their estate, mom and dad put in a will that they left their whole estate to their son. But during the process of, they wrote their will, left the whole estate to their son. But during this process, mom and dad both passed away. And during this time period, the young man turned himself into a woman, transgender, okay? But he changed all of his legal documents, everything, changed his name and everything. So it's in the courts right now to say, who does the estate go to? Because he's not the son anymore. And I was just sitting out there listening to this story. And of course, there's a lot to it that he was sharing. I'm just condensing it down. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. You know, that this is where we're at as a society. And right now in our society, you're seeing where all these things, that what I was saying a while ago, what's wrong is right. They get more privileges than we do. And all these kind of, I mean, this is ludicrous what is going on. And I want the young people to hear this. Guys, God created male and female. And that person that's going through that experience, whatever they're going through, that is demonic. And it's a lie from the pit of hell, right, Janice? It's a lie from the pit of hell. And And guys, you know, I was, this is going to sound funny. This morning I read something in the politically correct term nowadays, and you're going to hear this on the news, is gender fluidity. Like one day you wake up a male, one day you wake up a woman. It's just be fluid in your, you know. And here's the deal. If you pee like a man, you're a man. If you pee like a woman, you're a woman. And everybody said, amen. Okay. And young people, it's just, it's that simple. But you're seeing in our society today how they're muddying the waters and they're putting pressure even on the church and on you guys as young people to accept this, that it's right. No, you've got to stand up for what's right. Amen. God gave you a voice and stand up for what's right. And I want you to know as your pastor, if you need help with anything that you're going through or stuff like that, you know, that person is a deeply troubled person and needs deliverance is what it boils down to. And it's what the Bible calls a perverse spirit. And I don't have time to get into all that. But, you know, young, I just want you to know that you can talk to your parents, talk to your pastor, okay, if you come up against things that you don't understand in life. Because I can remember leaving this town. Thank God Leedy's a good Christian community. And I can remember leaving this town and going to OU, which is not that far, you know, up the interstate here, and going to college and seeing things that I'd never seen before and hearing things that I'd never heard before. Thank God, and that's that college age is where a lot of kids are being guided, you know, steered the wrong way. And so make sure you know what your values are and what you believe. And everybody said, amen. All right. That had nothing to do with my message today. Well, I guess it does a little bit. But I want to get into the message today. And we're going to finish up this series that I've been in on developing the trust in God that stands the test of time, having the heart established in the Word of God. And we've been talking about the seven major revelations every believer should know. And the one that we're going to talk about today, and it's the last one, we've covered all of them. I hope they've... How many of you learned something? Everybody learning something? I hope so. But this one today is going to be called The Reality of Being God Indwelt, number 4. And our main passage of Scripture that we've been looking at is Psalms 112, verses 1 through 10. And Psalms 112 is basically a summary of a person that has these revelations operating in their life, a believer with these major revelations operating in their life. It says, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. And the main scriptures that we've been looking at is verses 7 through 8, where it says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. This revelation of the reality of being God indwelt, there's three relationships that the Bible talks about between God and man, between God and people. And the first one is God for us. Everybody say, God for us. God is, say it again, God is for us. Okay. And as Psalms 56, verse 9 says, when I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. And I'm going to give you, and I'll send this teaching to you. I know I'm going to go through this pretty fast because I've got 10 points today because I haven't been in the pulpit for the last three Sundays. You know, the first Sunday of 2022, we were snowed in or iced in. So I'm going to give you, I'll go through this pretty quick today, but if you can't stay up with me and taking notes, just know I can email these to you. But this is an Old Testament scripture about how God is for me, God is for us. And then in Romans 8:31, it says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So there it is in the New Testament as well. Then the second relationship between God and people that's revealed in the Word of God is God is with us. and that is Emmanuel. That's when we went through Christmas season. We hear a lot about Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That's when Jesus came. And I love this Old Testament scripture about Moses, and this is in Exodus chapter 33, verses 14 through 15, and it says, "And he said," talking about God, "my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, said to God, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Moses, pretty smart man. He was basically saying, "God, if you're not going to go with us, then I don't want to go. I want to know that you're with us when we do this." Hebrews 13, verse 5 is a New Testament scripture talking about how God is with us, where it says, "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Young people, listen to me. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, whatever, wherever you go in life, God is always with you. And he's just a prayer away, okay? He's right there with you. And in Ezekiel 11, verse 5, because we're talking about, and this is in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they had this relationship with God of knowing that God is for us, God is with us. And when they had that revelation, and you see this in the life of David, then they knew that we're going to win. We've got victory because God is for us and God is with us. But what happened in the Old Testament, and this is, I'm just going to pull out one scripture. I encourage you to go study this for yourself. But what would happen is that the Holy Spirit would come upon people to do a task, to do an assignment for God. And I'm just going to give you one example of this, about how it words it. This is in Ezekiel 11, verse 5. It says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, 'Speak, thus says the Lord. Thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind.'" So the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. And you might be saying, "Well, Pastor Mark, does the Holy Spirit still fall in the New Testament?" Yes, he does. But here's the deal. There's also, we have something as New Testament believers that they didn't have in the Old Testament. And that's that we have. If you're saved and you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit within you. And so that's number three. And this is Hebrews 8, verse 6, tells us this. It says, "But now he's obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant, which was established on better promises." That's the New Testament. And that's the third relationship, the three relationships between God and people revealed in the Bible, that God is in us. I can still, there's a lot of things. Pastor Cody and I were talking about, with their church up there in Mino, and we were talking about this the other day. We had our coaching meeting this past week, and he was telling the story that how he was raised. He said, he goes, "In my basement of my mother's house, my mom and dad's house," said, "we would have worship services there, and we'd have small group meetings there." And he goes, "You talk about the Spirit of God coming in." And he said, back when he was a little child, he said, "I can just remember sleeping sleeping in the presence of God. That'd be going 4 hours, having church." He goes, "I'd just be over sleeping on the couch or something in the basement." But in one of those meetings, and he said he was a little bitty kid, and this is why I'm saying this, because we're having one of these kind of meetings tonight, is he said Kenneth Copeland was there. This is before his ministry was real well known, but he was in Mino in the basement of their house, teaching the Word of God. And he said, "And Kenneth Copeland came over and laid hands on me as I was a child and told me I was going to be a prophet." Yeah, and he's doing it today, and he's going to be here tonight with us. And he was talking about how there was another family out there in the Enid area that had a house or had a barn. And that this lady just heard from God, said, "I want you to open up your barn for people to come, and we're going to have service in your barn." So she started doing that, and they ended up calling this barn the Glory Barn. And because every time they met in it, God's glory would just show up. And he said, "I can remember being in the presence of God," and he said, "Nobody's even standing in the whole room, because everybody's bowed down before the Lord." It's just the presence of God, the Spirit of God fell in that place. Just powerful stories. And another story that I'm thinking of right now is one of the most powerful services I've ever been in was in a civic center, okay? Not even a church. Was in a civic center. A little girl was going to sing a special that night. And I'm going to tell you right now, I thank God for talented people, okay? And God can use talent and all those. God wants us to use our talents for him. This little girl, I'm just going to tell you right now, could not sing a lick, okay? couldn't even carry a tune. But you could tell that this little girl had spent a lot of time in prayer because she knew that she was going to sing the special for this night. And she got up there and she started singing. And guys, I'm telling you what, by the time she got done, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. And the Spirit of God fell upon that place and honored her for what she was doing. And it was powerful. We had church. The reason why I'm saying all that is God still falls, amen, still comes upon people and does those things. But the thing that we have in the New Testament that they didn't have in the Old Testament is this third relationship where God is in us, meaning you are a carrier of God wherever you go at all times. And this is John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 through 20 says, and do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're a temple, by the way, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And I have a pastor friend of mine, he uses this and turns this scripture around, and he goes, I'm adding to the temple daily, and that's when he eats. I'm adding to the temple today. But do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Here's another scripture, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16. Says, in what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So wherever you go, you're a carrier of God. You're a carrier of the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to, before we get into these, I'm going to give you 10 things. These are 10 life-changing truths about being God indwelt, okay? I'm going to give you a book to read if you're a reader, is The God I Never Knew by Pastor Robert Morse. Is a really good book. It teaches you about the Holy Spirit. And I was kind of raised, you know, for me, I'll tell you my church background, I was raised Southern Baptist. I married a Pentecostal girl, Jada. Her mama had her in the Assemblies of God from when she was little bitty. And being raised where I was raised, I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit, okay? Never really even heard that term. And I was kind of like the guys in the book of Acts. I even heard there was a Holy Spirit. And so when when we got married, after we'd been married for a year, we started going to church at an Assembly of God church in Elk City. And that's where I got introduced to the Holy Spirit. Now, instead of me, I'm going to tell you something right now. Even though I'd been in church up to about the age of 12, and I'd been baptized when I was 9, just living here in Western Oklahoma, I had to get rid of a lot of religion, okay? And I can remember one of the things I had to get rid of was, because I'd always been taught, if you speak in tongues, you're of the devil. And I was like, where did they get that at? You know, where's that at in the Bible? So I did a very, very wise thing, is I picked up this myself, instead of listening to what other preachers and teachers, I said, I'm going to start studying this for myself and see what this says. And so I started studying it, and I started realizing, man, there's all kinds of scriptures in there about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and prophesying and speaking in tongues and all this. And yes, some of it, you know, if you read 1 and 2 Corinthians, that church was Pentecostal as you can get, you know, and the Apostle Paul had to go in there and say, okay, you know, it's good that you all do this, but that's supposed to be for your, you know, some of this is for public, but most of it's for your private prayer language. I don't have time to get into all this. We may go down this road this year of teaching about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But he was just basically trying to teach them how to, you've got this power from God, but having it under control, and you've got it for you to witness to other people and you to minister to other people. And so that's what he was teaching them. And so these life-changing truths about being God indwelt, is that was the way I had been raised, and I had to get over some of those things. And the reason and how I got over them, guys, is I got into the Word myself and started studying it for myself. And I just encourage you to go read the book of Acts. And everybody said, amen, okay? Get into this yourself. Don't take somebody else's word for it. Don't take my word for it. I want you to get into the Word for yourself and learn from God. There's way more. Yes, salvation is the most important thing that can happen to anybody, but God wants us to have heaven on earth too. All right, He wants us to live in victory here and not just hold on until we get to heaven. All right, life-changing truths about being God indwelt. Here's number one. The indwelling Spirit creates new life. And that happens at the moment of salvation when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So that's what happens the moment you receive Jesus, is you receive new life. And everybody said, amen. All right. Here's number two, life-changing truths about being God indwelt. Number two, the indwelling Spirit confirms to the believer they are children of God. I love that. Okay? God don't want you to doubt your salvation. God wants to confirm to you that He's your Father. All right? And this is Romans 8, verses 15 through 17. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit, there it is, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. God wants you to know that you're a son or a daughter of the Most High God. And I'm going to tell you, a lot of people sitting in churches for 40 years doubt their salvation, because they don't have that inner witness from the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to have that. That's one of the big things. Here's number three, life-changing truths about being God indwelt. The indwelling Spirit inaugurates the new believer as a member of the body of Christ. This is very important, and this is, I'm going to read one scripture with this one as well. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, here's what I want to tell you right now. When you get water baptized, you're not being baptized into a church or into a denomination. You're being baptized in the body of Christ. Okay? It's amazing to me today how many people worship a building. Okay? Because that's where Grandma used to go to church at. Right? So I worship that building. Or they worship a denomination or a creed or whatever. I know, you know, Jade and I have friends, they don't think you're having church unless it's got Assembly of God over the door. That's just wrong, right? That's just wrong. You know, that's, and I've even said this, you know, we always talk about the division that's happening in the world today amongst the races and, you know, the Democrats and Republicans and blah, 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 blah. The most segregated thing on the planet Earth is on Sunday morning is the body of Christ. And we need to get unified. And so you're not being baptized into a church or denomination. And just because you're on the First Baptist Church membership roll, you know, in Leedy like I was up to the age of 12, that doesn't make you saved. No more than sitting in a car makes you, sitting in a garage makes you a car, right? You got to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all right? And so you're not baptized into a church or denomination. And if you feel like, I've had people come up to me and say, you know, I was baptized as a child, but they baptized me and I feel like they baptized me into the church or into denomination, and I just want to get baptized all over again. Let's do it. Amen. We can just fill it up and get her done next Sunday. So if that's you, get with me after service and we can get that done. Just so, I just want you to know you're baptized into the body of Christ. All right? You're not baptized into a church or denomination. Now, a lot of people, this is where we stop in life, and we get saved, and we get water baptized, and we're like, we're good, we're good churchgoers, we give, and we're like, you know, everything is good, you're saved, all right? But there's more to it. God wants to give you more. Look at somebody and say, God wants to give you more. So I'm going to do a little segue here between water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism, and I don't have time, we're going to go deeper into this year as well. But this is Matthew 3:11, and this is what John the Baptist said. I'm just going to give you this one scripture, and then I'm encourage you to go read the book of Acts. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's what Jesus does, right? And if you'll read the book of Acts, you'll see in some stories in there, they'll say, well, what baptism are you? You know, and some of them said John, you know. And that just meant to them, okay, they've been water baptized, but they have no idea about Holy Spirit baptism. Come here, I'm going to lay hands on you, you know, so you can receive the Holy Spirit. And you don't have to have hands laid on you. You can just ask. What I wanted you to see there is that Jesus is the one that baptizes you with the Holy Spirit. And I began to just, guys, it took me a long time, even though I'd just been in church for like 12 years, and then from the age of 12 to in my 20s, I'd been away from church. I didn't realize how much religion I had in me, because I had to detox all this stuff. And I started praying after I knew, and Jade and I got water baptized again. I was water baptized at the age of 9 here at the Baptist church, and then we did it again after we got married. We were 23, I think, at the time when we got 22 or 23. We got baptized again at Assembly of God Church in Elk City, just because I felt like I needed to do it again. And then I began to ask the Lord, Lord, okay, I know there's more, and I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. And there was a season there that I went through, though, that I had to do some detoxing of religion and things I'd been taught. And then one day the Holy Spirit came and the Lord baptized me in the Holy Spirit. And God is good. Amen? And He's not a respecter of persons either. Life-changing truths about being God indwelt. And here's number 4. So we're going from water baptism to Holy Spirit baptism, and this is why He wants you to receive, and this is why the enemy fights it so much. This is why he even says it's of the devil and all these things. This is why the enemy lies to people, because number 4, the indwelling Spirit gives spiritual gifts to serve the Lord and His people. All right? This is why He wants to give you, that's why Jesus told the disciples in Acts, go wait for the Holy Spirit, you know, wait for it. Wait for my power to come upon you. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11, I'm going to show you these gifts, and we'll get more in depth in these this year as well. But it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. That's all. That's amazing what the Holy Spirit can do. I'm going to just share just a recent story of how the Holy Spirit used somebody that was flowing in the gifts for me personally. And it happened here at church. And I want to share this because I'm not pulling a Lincoln Riley. but I don't know if y'all remember when we had Cammie Cantu here last time. And she's up here and she's flowing in the Holy Spirit and she's ministering. And she really moves in the gifts of prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom is what she was really flowing in. And the Holy Spirit just, you know, you can't just say, the Holy Spirit does the flowing, all right? Okay, I'm His vessel. A lot of people camp on, well, God called me to be a healer. Well, that may be a gift that does flow through you, but He can flow all the other gifts through you too, as well, too. He did whatever you need. So don't just camp out on one thing. Just be open to the Holy Spirit and say, I'm His vessel. So anyway, something personally that Jade and I had been praying about was we are praying about building our forever home, okay? And but you know the economy that we're in, the prices of stuff right now, the supply and demand, all this stuff, it had me questioning, God, I don't think we need to build right now. You know, this is crazy. This is cray-cray when you look at it in the natural, right? I was looking at it in the natural, and I was just like, And Jade and I had talked about it, and we were praying about it. And that particular Sunday, she came over and she started, and we had not talked to her at all, okay? This is God flowing through a person speaking to you. And she came over and she started praying, and she stopped, and she said, Pastor Mark, I see you in a new home. And I'm like, really? You know? And that was basically all she said, but that built faith in me to know that God had been hearing my prayer and God was answering my prayer saying it's okay. He was giving me the green light, okay? Even in the midst of all the, and it doesn't make, you know, how many of you know it doesn't make sense with God almost all the time? Just never, in the natural, just never makes sense. In the natural, this don't make sense to build a home at this time with all the stuff that's going on. But by the grace of God, we're going to do it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And when she said that, when she said a new home, she was saying something about, I don't know if it's spiritual, physical, or whatever. So I'm not pulling a Lincoln Riley, okay? This is my home church right here. This is my home church. So that's just an example of somebody flowing the gift that just came to me real quick. There's other examples that I could share with you. And God wants to use every one of us to flow in this together. We're all called to be ministers, all right? Okay, here's number five. The indwelling spirit helps the believer understand and apply the scripture to their daily lives. I'm going to tell you what, whenever I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, the scripture came to life to me. You know why it came to life? Is because he's the author of it. Yeah, he flowed through men and women, but he's the author of the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, it says, now we have received not the Spirit of the Lord, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. So God wants to open up his Word to you. You know, some people read the Word of God with their coffee. I'm going to encourage you to start reading the Word of God with the Holy Spirit, all right, because he's the one that, and you can drink coffee too, okay, it's okay. But you're not going to drown the Holy Spirit drinking coffee. God wants you to wake up so you can read the Word of God. So read it with the Holy Spirit. Here's number six. The indwelling spirit enriches the believer's prayer life and intercedes for them in prayer. This is Romans 8, verses 26 through 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. God will pray through you. The Holy Spirit will pray through you. Amen? And he wants to intercede on your behalf. And that's through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Here's number seven. The indwelling Holy Spirit empowers the yielded believer to live for Christ, to do his will. And there's a lot of people trying to live for God by their sheer willpower. And I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, you've got a will, and there is power in your will. But I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit wants to give you the power to live a Christian life. And he's the one that can do it. This is Galatians 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So instead of trying to do it yourself with willpower, live with Spirit power. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number eight. The indwelling Spirit gives evidence of new life by producing the fruit of the Spirit in the believer's life. You ought to be getting sweeter and sweeter. Amen? All right? You ought to be less of a jerk as each day goes by. The Holy Spirit ought to be casting the jerk out of you, all right? And so you ought to be getting better. Not to say that we're perfect, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. I was reading a book by Smith Wigglesworth, and he was a great evangelist and flowed in the Holy Spirit. And his wife said, I knew whenever Smith got saved, because he was a plumber before he became a preacher, he said, and I knew when he got saved is because he went from an angry man to a man of love. And I thought, man, that is so good. She saw the evidence of the fruit in his life. All right, here's number nine. The indwelling spirit is grieved when the believer sins, and he convicts the believer to confess their sin to the Lord so that fellowship is restored. Now, I'm saying this because here's the deal. It's not that you lose your salvation. Amen? Okay? But whenever you do something wrong, whatever it is, the Holy Spirit, when you grieve the Holy Spirit and he convicts you, then you're to confess your sin so that your fellowship with him can be restored. Give you an example. All right? There's a scripture in the Word of God that says how a man treats his wife, that's, you know, your prayers can be hindered on how you treat your wife, okay? There was one day I was short with Jada, okay? And she did what every good Christian woman wife does. She didn't talk back. She just ducked, basically. It was like, and she told me, she said, I told the Lord to get you for how you talk to me. Well, he did. He did. He did. He honored her prayer. He did. And he got to me, and one day I was praying. And I just felt the Lord say to me, Mark, you need to quit talking to your wife that way, because you don't talk to me that way, do you? No, sir, I don't, you know. Well, don't be talking, you know, the number one person I've given in your life is your wife. don't talk to her that way, because if you come to me, I'm going to talk to you about her, and you better get it cleared up with her before you come to me, because I'm not listening to you if you're talking to her like that. And so I had to go back and say, Jada, I am so sorry that I was short with you and that I talked to you that way. Thank God she's a good forgiver, because she forgives me every day for the stupid stuff that I do and say. And then that fellowship was restored with God. Okay? Doesn't mean I didn't fall out of salvation with God. I didn't know get saved all over again and water baptized. I just needed to repent and say, God, I'm sorry, you know, for my attitude, my behavior. And has that ever happened? Everybody's looking at me like, that's never happened to me, Pastor. Okay, yeah. All right, so then that fellowship is restored. And that's the Holy Spirit's job, is he convicts of that, all right? It's not condemnation. He just lovingly, if you're not being disciplined as a child of God, then God doesn't love you, okay? And I shouldn't have said it like that, but God disciplines those that he loves. That's the way I should have said it. God disciplines those that he loves, just like you do as a parent, all right? He disciplines, and he knows how to work with each one of us. I love how he does that. And this is Ephesians 4, verse 30 and 1 John 1, 9 that goes with this, and it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, but whom you were sealed for by the day of redemption. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So we can grieve the Holy Spirit, and it's just because of our actions or things we say and do, and God is very loving and forgiving, and he just wants us to repent and get back into fellowship with him. Then 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then number 10, life-changing truth about being God indwelt, is the indwelling spirit seals the believer unto the day of redemption, so that the believer's arrival in the Lord's presence is guaranteed after this life. And I love this scripture. This is Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And then the final scripture of today, and this is why God wants you to know that you're indwelt by him. If you know him as your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit abiding within you. And this is 1 John 4, 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And he wants you to know that. Any situation you walk into, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And everybody said, amen. This helped somebody? Amen. Okay. Did you learn something today? Good. All right, and if you need me to email these notes to you, I sure will do that. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to ask you if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I know most of you in here this morning, but I always do this every Sunday just to make sure. Also, those that are watching online and those that will be listening to this by radio. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, that if we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation this morning. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, we need to get you water baptized next Sunday. Maybe you've been water baptized before and you want to do it again, just get with me and we'll get this baptistry filled up and get you baptized again. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. All right, Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for this word today. God, we thank you that Lord, we're leaving here today with the reality, God, with the revelation of you dwelling within us, God, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and God, that greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world, and God, that we're carriers of your anointing wherever we go. And so, God, we thank you for that today, and I pray that you just seal this revelation in everyone's hearts today in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I speak a blessing over your people today, Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome day. Be sure and come back this evening at 6. We'll have our worship service this evening with Pastor Cody and Faith Center Fellowship. Bring some family and friends with you as well. See y'all this evening.